Hello, I'm Melissa.
And I am Melanie.
And we are your Report HERS. We report crimes committed against Black women because they are underreported in the media. And so we welcome you to the Underreported Podcast.
Welcome. Today's story is a really, really tragic one. It's a story of how what seemed to be a random and innocent Facebook encounter turned deadly. But not for the reasons you would expect. It's actually much more sinister and intentional and twisted than that. So stick around to hear how this story goes from bad to worse with every new piece of information that's uncovered. It's the story of 16-year-old Shania Gray. In September of 2012, 16-year-old Shania Gray and her family have just moved from Mesquite, Texas to Carrollton, Texas. So for context, Carrollton to Mesquite is about 30 miles. A few of the news reports when I was researching this case in the Daily Mail report that the family was moving closer to be near her stepfather's job. He has a job and they want to move closer, so that's why they have moved. Because of the move, Shania has to start at a new school.
Okay.
So on September 6th, which is day two for her at her new school, Shania tells her mom, Sherry, her name is Sherry James, that after school she's going to go to tutoring for her physics class. So the two of them agree, okay, fine.
You're taking physics?
I know. So the two of them agree, after your tutoring is over, I will pick you up, I being her mom, Sherry. So close to the end of the tutoring session, Shania texts her mom to say that they are close to wrapping up.
Okay.
So you can come up here, be on your way. So her mom pulls up around 4 o'clock p.m. and is waiting out in the front of the school for her to come out. So she's waiting. No, Shania. She keeps waiting. She's waiting. She's waiting.
Nothing.
So she waits for a while and Shania never comes out.
Mm-hmm.
So after a while with Shania not coming out, Sherry starts calling and texting her repeatedly, trying to understand where she's at. But she doesn't get an answer.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's really panicking. And according to court docs, Sherry goes to a nearby Starbucks to use her laptop because it seems like they had a, like, Find My iPhone,
yes,
kind of thing.
Yes.
So she goes to the Starbucks, and she's trying to locate Shania's phone through her laptop, but is not successful.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes back up to the school. And this time, instead of waiting in the car, she gets out. So she's searching the school for her daughter. She goes to the classroom in which the physics,
yes,
tutoring was supposed to happen, and she finds that the doors are locked and the lights are off. It's dark.
Oh, no.
So now she's like, okay,
super
she's not
panic.
Here.
And hasn't been for
and
a while.
Hasn't been. And she hasn't come out. Like, where is my daughter? So she starts searching the school, and she ends up running into a teacher.
Okay.
Sherry is somehow able to contact the physics teacher to ask her about Shania. Like, hey, Shania was supposed to be in your
right.
tutoring class. Like, did she leave? And the teacher confirms to her, yeah, she left around 4:15. She was gone. And so Sherry asks everyone that she can find at the school to help her. Anyone who still
yeah.
left, like, later. So she finds a few teachers. She finds some coaches. She finds some players.
Can I ask a question
timeline-wise? Yeah.
So when did mom arrive? At 4?
At 4.
And the teacher said she was going at by 4:15?
She walked, that the tutoring ended, and she had left around 4:15.
Okay, so there's a 15-minute...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
I just want to make sure that was clear.
That mom was waiting for
15
minutes.
Yeah, that mom was already waiting.
Which was fair.
Right.
Because tutoring was going on.
Exactly.
But beyond that, where's my child?
Yeah.
And so, and there's no clear timeline.
So tutoring didn't end at 4 o'clock. It ended at 4:15.
Yes.
Got it. I thought it ended at 4. They stayed late, and so it was like, she should be out. Got it.
Yeah. So, because remember, she texted her mom to say, we're wrapping up, you can come. So
got
she probably
it.
Got there a few minutes early.
Got it. I understand.
And so she's asking everyone at the school that she can find to help. So they start searching the stadium. They're searching the parking lot. They're searching other classrooms. Everyone is trying to find Shania, and they're not successful. And so one of the teachers recommends contacting the school's resource officer.
Okay.
Resource officer being like the security guard
person
that's like at a school. And so his name is Officer Langston, Force Langston. And so they go find him or reach out to him to tell her that, yo, my daughter Shania has been attending your school for 2 days. And
right, because they just moved.
And so I don't know where she's at. She went to tutoring and she's not here. So what Officer Langston decides to do is, okay, new student, where was she going before? Let me call her old school.
Great idea.
So he calls the old school, mm-hmm. and he gets their resource officer. Mm-hmm. And so they have a conversation. And what Officer Langston learns in that conversation is the first thread of what would eventually cause this case to unravel. So in that conversation with the officer from the previous school, Officer Langston learns that Shania is the named victim of a ongoing sexual assault case. And the defendant...
Does mom not know?
Mom knows.
Okay.
Yes. But maybe didn't piece those together. Maybe okay. didn't think. She just texted me. She's just coming out.
Okay.
So the resource officer tells the new resource officer, Officer Langston, the defendant in the sexual assault case is a 30-year-old man by the name of Franklin Davis. And so the officer, Officer Langston, now has more information than he originally did. And so he's concerned at this point.
So am I, Officer Langston.
So then he says, let me go look at the cameras. We have security cameras here.
On campus.
Let's go review.
What was going on around
4 o'clock, 4:15. Right. So
Officer Langston's on his P's and Q's.
He is.
I don't often give security officers that work at schools the credit that they deserve. Officer Langston deserves the credit.
He does. He's putting the pieces.
Yeah, child, quickly.
In their place. Yeah. So after searching a few cameras, he finds one. And he sees Shania. And so in the camera footage, Shania is leaving the school, but not through the front door where her mother was waiting for her. She's actually leaving in a back door that is typically used by coaches and staff.
Okay.
And in the back, so he sees her leaving, and in the back shot of what he sees is a gray Dodge Stratus that appears to be parked pretty close by, and she seems to be walking toward
it. Mm-hmm.
So with all of these pieces, Officer Langston is like, to the cops we go.
Yeah.
Officer Langston and Sherry go to the Carrollton Police, the police department that is of the area, and give them everything that they have. Here is the camera footage. Mm-hmm. Here is mom's story. Here is everything we know. We don't know where she's at. When they're there, Sherry, the mom, also gives the police access to Shania's cell phone records and access to her social media accounts.
Okay.
Help me find my daughter.
Yes.
Here's all the thing that I can give you.
Absolutely.
Everything. The police look over the phone records and discover that right before and right after texting her mom that she's about to be done with tutoring, you can come get me, that Shania had texted a 903 number.
Mm.
And the police, naturally, who is this 903 number? Texting very close, you know, to the time that she's texting her mom. So they start looking into the 903 number. Who owns this? Who is this registered to? But they're unable to determine who it belongs to.
Oh.
Because it's a burner phone.
Of course.
A throwaway. So burner phone or throwaway phone is a disposable phone that you get from a store and you get a calling card with it. And so in order to use it, you just use the minutes on the calling card.
And then you're done with it.
And then you're done. And you don't have to sign up with a phone
company. So
there's no traceability. So the police pivot, and I'm not quite sure how they determine this or how they figure this out, but they are able to find a number that the 903 number made contact with as on the same day.
I'm sure that's police privileges that we regular folks don't
100%.
Know. Yeah.
So they call the number that they are able to determine.
The additional number.
Yeah.
Yep.
And a woman by the name of Shakima Morsley answers the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And so the police are like, hi, we're trying to figure out who owns this 903 number. Can you give us any information? And so Shakima
starts crying and tells all the tea.
No.
She didn't.
No. Shakima tells them, oh, I, you know, this person who called me actually wouldn't tell me who they are, but based on context clues, I was able to determine that the person who was texting me, who has this number, is a man by the name of Franklin Davis.
Oh, wait. So she, my assumption was that she knew Franklin, but she didn't know Franklin.
She did. Because she tells police, say, who is the 903 number?
But why is she saying my assumption through context clues? Because, What's her history?
She says that this 903 number texts me and would never identify who they were. Uh-huh. But based on the conversation, I knew who it was because I know him.
Got it. So That's what I was missing. I wasn't sure that she actually knew him.
Her context clues were because she actually knows him. Okay, so based on the questions he's asking, based on the things that he's saying.
She was like, this Franklin.
This Franklin, why are you playing on my phone? And so she tells police, I actually am the coworker of his wife, whose name is Juwanna Arrington. And Juwanna is Franklin's wife. Mm-hmm. He's texting me. You can draw your own conclusions about what was going why. On. Some of the records and reports that I saw that he was saying, where is your new apartment at? Mm-hmm. So again, draw your own conclusions. But she tells police, that's Franklin. Mm-hmm. So the police say, can you give us Juwanna's phone number? We want to call her.
Yes.
So they call Juwanna. And within minutes of talking to her, she puts Franklin on the phone. And so the police say, hey, we are investigating the case of a missing child.
This is all, man, hold on. This is all the same day.
This is all
same day after 4 o'clock. We probably 6, 7 o'clock.
Yes.
Okay, keep going.
Yes, this or is even all, later because remember she waited for a while. Oh, that's true. Called, that's true. So things happened. Yes.
But still, Officer Langston is the one that allowed them to be moving this quickly. Okay, so they already in contact with the wife. First of all, they in contact with potential side chick. Then they're in contact with the wife, and now they're in direct contact to Franklin.
Franklin Davis. Yes. Yes.
This move quick.
So they tell him, we're investigating the case of a missing child, to which he's like, what? A missing child? Why? Who? Who could it be?
Whoever could it be?
And they're like, do you have any information and or any information about this 903 number that she seemed to be texting with, the missing child? Mm-hmm. And he's like, nope, no idea. I know nothing about 903 or her. Not sure. I don't know. So while that's also happening, and remember, Officer Langston gave them access to video footage.
Right.
That had a Dodge Stratus.
Correct. Can we see your driveway? Where's your car?
The police determine that the car matches the description of a car that Juwanna Arrington owns. Juwanna Arrington,
the wife of Franklin
Davis's wife. So they, that conversation and all the other bits of information that they have lead police to start surveillance. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to start watching you. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fine. So they go to the apartment that he lives, and what do they see in the parking lot? The Dodge Stratus. The gray Dodge Stratus. So they're monitoring him. They're gathering. We got you. We're going to see what's happening. So at one point, while Franklin is under surveillance, he like leaves his apartment. Mm. And because he's known to be this bodybuilder, he's known to carry a pistol, he's known for all these things. So they see him walking towards them. So to de-escalate everything, they decide to, okay, we'll just arrest you. Let me just arrest you to make sure we're safe, you're safe, the neighborhood's safe. So they handcuff him and they are talking to him. And he wasn't under arrest. They just, again, wanted to make sure everything was kind of cool and kosher. And so in talking to him, he agrees, okay, fine, I'll come to the police station. That's not a problem.
No big deal.
I'll come down.
Oh, he was talking big stuff. He didn't think they had any evidence. No.
So once he gets there to the police station, he's having his first interview. And he admits that he knows Shania. And he feels that she had falsely accused him of sexually assaulting her. He says he has text messages to prove that she lied. He still doesn't know anything about the 903 number. Or he says, I haven't been in recent contact with her or Shakima.
He just lie.
Yes, I know nothing. I do know her. And I know that he accused me, but she's a liar. Or she accused me, but she's a liar. And so they have him in the interview room. And while they're doing that, they're talking to Juwanna. And they say, hey, Can we search your gray Dodge Stratus by chance? She says,
I got nothing to hide. Hit the keys.
Have at it. Police bring in two cadaver dogs, and those dogs are specifically trained to search the scent of decaying bodies.
Yes.
So the dogs are trotting along in the parking lot, not reacting to anyone. As soon as they get near or to the gray Dodge Stratus, they go crazy. They're sounding off, hey, dead body has been in and around this car.
Mm-hmm.
So they now police have that bit of information. They still don't have quite enough to arrest him for the charges or to figure out, because they don't even know what happened. So they're not clear, but they don't arrest him. Instead, they're able to, which I hear happens often, find some traffic violations. Oh. We're just going to hold you.
We'll put
you in a cell and let you sit for a little while. While Franklin is in his cell, police were able to access his cell phone, his
actual cell phone.
And so while he's waiting in the cell, they're able to determine that his cell phone was pinging off of a cell phone tower at or near Shania's high school.
What was you doing over there, grown man? Mm-hmm.
And a short while later, after they have this information, Franklin, who's sitting in his cell, is like, actually,
I have something to say. Can
I
want to
talk to
story?
You guys again. Let's talk. So this is the second kind of interview.
Mm-hmm.
And the detectives tell Davis that, hey, we looked into your cell and we see that it was pinging off of a tower near Shania's school. So at that point, Franklin admits that he had been speaking with Shania on the phone, and it was actually to record conversations so that he can document discrepancies between the police report and what she filed versus what she would tell him in these private conversations.
You have to think about that, and that's how you came up.
He said, I have any contact with her on the day she died. I have nothing to do with her.
On the day she died? Who said she died? How do we know she did?
Well, that's what he said. I had nothing to do with, you know, what happened to her on the day she died. And so they close out the interview, and he goes back to his cell. So, bit more information.
Yeah.
But then, about an hour and a half later, he's like, actually, can we talk again? I actually have more things to say.
Oh my gosh.
This time, he says, and this is a quote from the court records, a lot of the information that y'all say y'all have is not correct. Honestly, I felt like that with a lot of the information that you were saying to me, that I would have been able to walk, but I wouldn't be able to live with myself because I did do it. Mm. Which was a bit jumbled.
Yeah, it was like, what?
It was a bit of a
confession.
Mm-hmm. And so between what Franklin told detectives in that third interview and the testimony that he later gives at trial, I'm going to recap to you what actually happened to Shania on the day she went missing. So in September of 2010, and remember she went missing September 6th of 2012. So two years prior. She was 14 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And her mom, Sherry, had arranged a babysitting job for her at the request of an acquaintance that she had, whose name was Jennifer DeBrill.
Okay.
And so Shania begins babysitting Jennifer's three kids. One of the kids was fathered by Franklin Davis. So she's babysitting. Her mom's dropping her off. Things are going fine. But randomly, Shania says, I don't want to babysit anymore. No one understood why, but like, okay, fine. No one understood until one day in March 2011. It was about 6 months after she had started the babysitting gig. Her phone was just sitting and going off. It was, text messages were coming in. So Sherry, her mom, decides to look at it. And it was a message from someone named Wish. Sherry had met Franklin Davis before, and she knows that his nickname
is Wish.
So she's going through the messages, and in one of them, Wish asked Gray how come she wasn't coming to babysit anymore. When I was researching, there was not very clear responses in this thread that Sherry saw.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just covering from Shania
back to him.
So I'm just covering a few of the things that Sherry saw that made her concerned. So the first one was, how come you're not coming to babysit anymore? And then the second one that was reported was, that's foul, so I'm supposed to sit around and wait, man, whatever. To that one though, Shania responded, nope, what are you getting mad for? You got two for the price of one. What are you complaining for? Trying to have your cake and eat it too. Franklin then responded, I just want you, but I can't fully have you yet. So Sherry.
Oh, everything's going off. What this mean? It better not mean what I think it mean. Where's my little girl? I need to have a conversation, and then I need to go talk to this man.
Yes. So Sherry asked Shania, what's going on with these messages? Shania gets upset and eventually is crying. So Sherry, and remember, Franklin is just the father of one of the kids. The reason that Shania was babysitting was actually through Jennifer Durrell, mm-hmm. who is the mother of one mm-hmm. of his kids. Mm-hmm. So Sherry drives to Jennifer's house. She shows the messages to Jennifer, and everything I read said that Jennifer's response was pretty nonchalant mm-hmm. and said, ain't got nothing to do with me, you should ask him. I don't know what you're talking about.
But does that mean like it's expected behavior from him?
It could. She says, ask him. So Sherry reaches out the next day to Franklin Davis, and he says, it's all a lie. I actually thought somebody was pranking my phone, and I was just going along with it. I was responding like, whatever, I'm going to play this game. Sherry says, I got your number. I'm going to go to the police. We're going to have this happen. So Franklin decides, I'm going to go to the police first. So he goes to the police and says, just so you know, somebody gonna come up here and say that I was doing stuff I ain't had no business doing, but the reality is, I didn't even know Shania had a phone, and I was going along with what I thought was a prank. So just so you know, when a woman named Sherry comes up here,
it's all a lie.
It's all a lie. Just don't believe her. So Sherry hasn't even gone to the police at this point. So the following day, at school, Shania is distraught. She's crying, having a terrible day, as you would imagine. So she tells two of her friends in confidence, when I was babysitting, there was this guy that used to touch me when I would be babysitting, and I didn't like it. It was uncomfortable, but he was touching me. So, and she says, one time he had a samurai sword.
Oh my God. He had
gotten rough with me. He got a samurai sword, and he said, if you ever tell anyone, I'll kill you and your family.
Oh my gosh.
So the girls are like, you should tell my mom. Maybe you should go to my mom, yeah. Tell her. If you don't want to tell yours, tell mine. So they convince her, she agrees, and she tells their mom, when I was babysitting, this guy sexually assaulted me 4 different times. So that mother tells her mama, I'm going to Sherry.
Yes.
And so Sherry goes to the police.
Yes.
Here's what happened. Here's what my daughter's saying. They do all of the things, they do the reports, they do the questioning, they do everything they're supposed to do after the event of a sexual assault. And Shania, in this interview, tells police that when she would be over Jennifer's house babysitting the kids, Franklin would come over randomly.
I was gonna ask that. I was like, how did he know that Jennifer was gone and that he should come over
It's not clear how he would know. I could only speculate that, like, you know where your kid is at.
That's true.
If you know her schedule, her work schedule, maybe he was supposed to be picking one of the kids up.
Honestly, if he's this kind of deranged, and based on her response,
yes, it could fully lie. Yeah. He's gonna make it happen. So Shania tells police that when she was over babysitting the kids, Franklin would come over and he would send the kids to a different room, or he would make Shania go in the bedroom and he would assault her.
Oh my God.
And it happened a total of 4 times. 3 times were at Jennifer's house, and 1 time it was at Franklin's house. Again, I'm not really clear how the Franklin's house one happened. I'm not really clear, and I couldn't see that in the... Most of the research I did was actually based off of the court documents for this case, more than it was, like, articles. Mm-hmm. And so it's not really clear how the one at Franklin's house happened, but it was reported that also happened. It happened again at his house. So based on this information, Franklin Davis gets arrested, but about a month later, he posts bail, and he begins to, so he's out, but he's having court dates for these impending charges mm-hmm. and this trial that's going to happen. And so with everything that's going on, Shania agrees to testify against him at the trial. She's like, yep, I'm in. time passes, as you know, the judicial system in the U.S. takes a while, even though you have the right to a speedy trial, it takes a while. And so months and months pass. And remember, back at the beginning of this podcast, Shania's father had, her stepfather had a job.
Right.
And so they moved, her and her family moved to be closer to the job. So it's now about May of 2012.
Okay.
And Franklin, who is dealing with all these cases, trials, and court hearings to...
World is turned upside down, but he deserves.
100% to get ready for the upcoming trial. He is, I can only imagine, world turned upside down, as you said. So in May of 2012, he decides to create a Facebook profile, a fake one.
I was wondering when Facebook was going to happen.
Here it is. He creates a fake Facebook profile of a girl that he named Jasmine Brown. He uses that profile and reaches out to Shania with a message. The message says, "Hey Shania, I'm new in the city and trying to find a cool female to befriend without the drama. I like to shop my butt off, LOL. Get back at me if we have some things in common." Shania doesn't answer it.
Oh, good.
She also doesn't accept the friend request. Mm-hmm. She just lets it rock. Whatever, I didn't know you, girl. But Davis is persistent. So about 2 months later, it's about early July of 2012, he creates another Facebook profile.
Oh my gosh.
This time, it's with a guy's picture. So he finds a guy on Facebook that he feels like Shania would be attracted to. The guy was older than Shania, but younger than Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was some documents I was reading that said the guy was supposed to be like in the military or something, so like a younger kind of early 20s, I would imagine, kind of guy. And his nickname was D, and he tells her, "Hey, looking for a new friend, nothing sexual, I just wanted someone to get to know." So the two are talking, and from Facebook they exchange numbers. I also read that because you can include information, or used to, I don't even know if it's a thing that you still can do. I have never done it, but you can include some of your information on your Facebook, email,
you sure can.
Phone number.
Yep, I remember.
So I also read that he took her phone number off of her Facebook profile, mm-hmm. and then messaged her to say, "Hey, I'm Dee, the dude you've been talking to on Facebook."
Got it.
To transition from off of Facebook
to real life.
To real life. So they start talking regularly,
and she had never had Franklin's real life phone number because they had always met in person before.
He was talking to her on the 903 number,
the burner, the whole
the
time
burner.
I assumed he got the burner that day.
No, he had been talking, he got the phone
in anticipation of this real life.
He had to cover D.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they're talking regularly on the 903 number. He's working to gain
actually,
Shania's
but this is
trust.
Great evidence for all this.
Oh yeah,
when it comes to you
oh,
have
yeah.
it.
That's why I said at this, it gets bad to worse to worse
quickly.
As each new thing you're like, and then he did what?
Yeah.
So he works to gain her trust, and which was obviously very intentional. And through conversation, they're talking, they're friendly, and he's working to try to get her to open up. And eventually he gets her to talk about her past sexual experiences.
Mm.
So Shania at first is very resistant and like not trying to have the conversation. But eventually she tells him that she was sexually assaulted. So he pushes her and pushes her on the topic. And after getting what he thought was enough, because after pushing her, she continues to open up. So after getting what he felt like was enough information from her that was a discrepancy against the court records, he kind of backs away from talking to her. He like, okay, I'm cool.
Yeah.
So this part is going to get a little specific as far as a timeline is concerned. So just like follow me with the timeline. Around July 10th. So again, still prior to Shania disappearing, Franklin hires a new defense attorney. About 1 week later, so a little over a week, July 18th, according to phone records, Franklin does some internet searches, and the things he searches are, can you record a person without them knowing in Texas? Best way to get off of a sexual assault charge.
Oh my gosh.
With no proof that you did a murder, can you still be held in jail? And he did a few others around that same time. So between July 17th and August 1st, Shania and Franklin are exchanging hundreds of text messages and phone calls, which I was like, oh, it's so she, maybe, I don't know how he was disguising his voice. If he was disguising his voice, I don't know if she didn't even put the two together, but they are talking on the phone and texting
regularly
between July 17th and August 1st. All, of course, in his attempt to
2 weeks.
Yeah, to get information from her. August 24th, so remember, they stop around August 1st. August 24th, after they have stopped talking, the judge for the sexual assault case, the original sexual assault case, formally schedules the trial, his sexual assault trial, for October 29th, 2012.
Oh, the urgency now. He's panicking.
3 days later, Franklin installs an app that's called the Fake Call and SMS and Call Logs app onto his phone. And on that same day, text messages magically appear from Shania that appear to be created on Franklin's phone. Mm-hmm. And the messages say, "Sorry I lied on you, but my mama made me do it. If we go to court, I'ma tell them you never touched me. My mama gonna be mad at me, but F that B. I can't stand her anyway. Please forgive me." Mm. And then another one, "I believe if I tell the truth, she will punish me for a long time, and I want to be able to play basketball." It was later confirmed at the trial that the app that Franklin installed was used to create
those text messages. Absolutely.
You're not fooling anyone. Between August 28th and August 29th, so he did the app on August 24th, so a few days later. He's searching, does some internet searches trying to find gun shows. And he eventually starts communicating on that 903 number with someone named Chris. What they find is that Chris, whose real name is Christopher Allen, happened to be the brother of one of Franklin's ex-girlfriends. So that's
all. This man was a serial dater or something?
He did. There's a few ex-girlfriends and people listed in the court document. So he is able to make contact with the brother of one of his exes. And actually at trial, Chris testified. And he said that Davis called him asking him to buy a gun. And so he sold him a Diamondback 380 pistol for $200. So a few more days pass, September 5th, after not talking to Shania for about a month, right?
Maybe you guys' heart is breaking the more you, because you know where this is going.
You know where this is
and
going.
And my heart is just breaking right now.
Yes. Heartbreaking. So on September 5th, after not talking to Shania for about 1 month, Franklin hits her up again. And he says, "Hey, it's Dee. I turned off my phone because I was actually focused on studying, but I really miss you and I want to see you." Shania asks him, "Send a picture." Of course, he never does. So they're talking, texting on the 5th. The 6th, the next day. And again, remember, the 5th was her first day at school. The 6th is now her second day at school. So on the 6th, he texts her again. He says, "What time do you get home from school? I'm going to be in your area today and I owe you something." And Shania's like, "You do? What you owe me?" And he says, "Yep, money." So she says, "LOL, okay, yay. Like, I'll take some money."
Yeah, right.
So they continue texting. And twice during the conversation, he asks her if her and her mom were going to be dropping off her stepfather. And in reading it, my assumption was, is your stepdad going to be around when I am trying to make my move? Mm-hmm. I need to plan for that.
Right.
And she's like, "Nope, not going to be around, just me and my mama." So around 1:53 on September 6th, his phone shows that he looks up the directions to her high school, which is called Hebron High School. And he also looks up the directions to Sam Houston Trail Park. Mm-hmm. So time is passing, Shania is still in school. And she says, "You don't have to come like all inside the school. Like when you get up here, like, it's fine, I'll come meet you." Mm-hmm. And so the two of them agreed to meet in the parking lot.
On the back end
of the school by some tennis courts. By 4:01, Franklin's phone is shown to be hitting off of the tower next to the school. So Shania comes out of the school to where they had agreed. And according to Franklin, so this is his testimony, when she sees him in the parking lot and makes the connection that he's D, she freezes up and she is surprised and says, oh shoot.
Yeah.
And he says, I'm not gonna hurt you, I just wanna talk. The two of them walk to his car and he drives away. She's in the car and she's like, my mama's waiting for me. Like, I don't wanna go with you, can I go back?
Yeah.
And he pulls out a Diamondback 380 and sets it on his lap to make sure she sees it. So relax, you going on this ride. So they keep driving, and where does he drive? To Sam Houston Trail Park. And so he tells her, delete all of the text messages you have in your phone between you and D, and then turn your phone off. She complies, and he begins to berate her. Basically, you ruined my life, and you get to live your life and be happy. Get out of the car. So he orders her down to the river. There's a river there. And he shoots her. She falls into the water, and he testifies that she asks, why wish? And he says that he has a split second in which he thinks about trying to help her or save her, but instead he proceeds to place his foot on her neck until she stops breathing. By 5:15 p.m., and so remember, 4 o'clock.
Yes.
By 5:15, the 903 number shows that it's stopped receiving and sending and receiving any data. And by 5:17, 2 minutes later, Shania's phone had stopped as well. And so an expert at the trial testified that their phones were probably thrown into water. So over the course of the murder trial, the recordings that Franklin said that he got from her that exonerated him from the sexual assault charges, everybody, they review them, and they only further prove that Shania's courageous telling of what happened to her was consistent, whether she was on the phone with Franklin or whether she was at the police station. It was consistent the entire time. Because
otherwise, why would you go to this length of killing this woman if you thought you had a chance to be exonerated?
If you believe in your innocence?
Correct. Stand by them.
Stand by it. He chose not to. So, and actually when they were listening to the recordings, one specifically, he's pressing her and he's trying to get her to talk about what happened. And she's like, it's complicated. Change the subject. Like, stop asking me about it. Let's not. But they keep talking. And so eventually she circles back and she says, what happened to me really messed me up. This dude that she's talking, she doesn't even know she's talking to him. So she's telling him, he got into my head. I mean, at first I was going to cover for him. That's how stupid I was. I don't know what the hell I was thinking. I was going to cover up and take all the blame. And then my mama caught us. I had a babysitting job and he was the father of the kids I was babysitting. He thinks he is going to run away from that. Not like that. I was a child. And so again, she's telling this man what he, you know, has allegedly done. So in the final interview with Franklin and police, because remember, he was in his cell and he basically tells this story. The final interview with police, which took place. So at this point, a few days have passed. So it's September 9th. And in that conversation, they learn Sam Houston Trail Park. That's where Shania is. So they round everybody up. We got to go to the park. What they don't know is while they are talking to Franklin and getting the information about where Shania is, a passerby has discovered her body in the water and has called police. So by the time they get there, it's a crime scene. It's already, police are there.
Yeah.
So Franklin ends up going to trial. A lot of his girlfriends, like you were saying, testify. And from what I was reading, all of them say that he was violent and abusive. All of them talk about the kind of man he was. I think one of them even mentioned a samurai sword. And so there was also a report that I read in which he, after he finished telling police what happened, he says, is this going to be a capital murder charge? And the detective says yes. So in September of 2013, almost a year after Shania was murdered, brutally murdered, Franklin Davis was sentenced to death for the murder of Shania Gray, and he currently sits on death row.
Wow.
In Texas. So that is the heartbreaking story of a very courageous 16-year-old and 14-year-old, because she told her story at 14. She tells what happened to her, and because of this deranged, twisted, evil man, he was determined to kill her, and he was successful. Unfortunately, because he outsmarted her in requesting her on Facebook.
Yep. Wow.
So rest in peace to Shania Gray. We send all the prayers to her family. I was reading that after she passed, she didn't have a headstone, and the police department, I think even a fire department in the area, and some other people got together and bought her a headstone. But one of the things I was reading said that her mom, Sherry, felt like that was such a finalizing thing for her that she's really gone. So she's happy to have somewhere to go to remember her daughter, but she's also sad because that means the end of
she's really gone.
So yeah, rest in peace to Shania Gray. Terrible story. Thankful that he is on death row. He has never admitted to sexually assaulting her. He maintains his innocence on that to this day.
Wow.
Police, and even during the trial, everybody was saying, you killed her because
obviously
she was going to testify against you, but he maintains he didn't. And this is pure speculation, but I was only imagining that what happens, or what you hear happens to pedophiles in jail, maybe drove him. He was so fearful of that he would rather go to jail as a murderer
instead of
a rapist.
Wow.
Or a molester, because she was underage. So thanks for listening. Rest in peace and love to Shania Gray. If you want to hear more of these stories, tune in to Underreported, where we cover stories of crimes against Black women and girls because they are underreported in the media. Check out our Instagram, Underreported Podcast. You can see pictures of Shania Gray. We'll have a picture up of Franklin Davis. And thanks for listening.
Bye.